Welcome to the podcast service of the Massachusetts Climate Action Network. Visit us online at massclimateaction.net or friend us on Facebook.
Hi. And welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is about the MCAN legislative priorities. In particular, we're going to listen to a discussion from a recent MCAN webinar where some folks described the concept of Solar for All, which is an effort before the Massachusetts legislature to provide solar power to people regardless of what community they come from or the density of the neighborhoods or all that kind of stuff. It's a good effort. We'll hear from Joel Wool. Secondly, we'll hear from Ben Hellestein, who talks about ways to increase the total amount of renewable energy in Massachusetts with a bill that's in front of the legislature now. So listen in.
Awesome. Thank you, everyone, for your patience. Technology is often difficult to make work properly. I am covering a couple of issues related to solar power today, solar energy. And if you're looking at the slides, as you can see, the topic here is really around access to solar energy. As Ben started going into a little bit about the growth of renewable energy in Massachusetts and the quantity of clean energy which we have, which is in fact quite a lot, we are beating some much sunnier states in solar. But one of the key issues in thinking about our transition to a green economy is does everyone have access to the benefits of the you know, clean energy future that we're trying to build, or the clean energy present for that matter? So one thing that we are trying to do here at Clean Water Action, where I work, and through coalitions like Mass Power Forward, is advance renewable energy policies that work for everyone. So that means with energy efficiency, with weatherization, and with renewable energy, make sure that regardless of your economic class, your housing type, the geographic area you live in, how densely built the neighborhood you live in is, or for other reasons, regardless of those things, that you can still benefit from programs that we are creating statewide, and particularly because on our energy bills, we pay into things like weatherization and incentives to support the development of solar. So it's really critical from a, you know, from a sort of an economic equity perspective that we ensure everyone has access to them. So Mass Power Forward and the Green Justice Coalition, another coalition that we're working in sync with, have filed some legislation. If you can go to the next slide, Carol, that would be awesome. We have filed legislation to try to target some, not all, but some of the barriers related to solar access and equity. So the title and bill numbers of the legislation are there on the slide. And essentially, there's a couple of things we're trying to do. One, if you've been following solar policy in debates in the past couple of years, you'll see that we've really we've gotten to a kind of impasse in Massachusetts. There's often a conversation about, is renewable energy too expensive? Are we subsidizing clean energy too much? And, well, is this only for homeowners? Is this only for the wealthy? And the problem with this conversation is twofold. One, often the people putting out these messages are folks who are inclined to actually suppress the growth of renewable energy. But the second problem is that there's a grain of truth, unfortunately, which is that, you know, some people are benefiting more than others. And from our perspective, from Clean Water Action, from Mass Power Forward, the answer isn't to just shut down renewable energy. We know we have to fight climate change. We know we have to advance renewable energy. The answer is to make sure that everyone actually benefits and benefits equally, or as close to that as we can possibly get. So by by focusing the conversation on how we get to the solutions that work for everyone, we want to change the dialogue around solar.
So that was Joel Wool. Now let's listen to Ben Hellestein discuss increasing renewable energy output here in Massachusetts.
Okay. Thanks, Carol, and thank you so much to all of you for your patience. All right. So I missed the beginning of Joel's presentation, so hopefully I won't go over anything that he's already talked about. So to start off with a little bit of context, so folks know that Massachusetts is often seen as a leader for clean energy, and, you know, it's certainly true that, you know, looking among many other states, we are doing a lot more. So, you know, we've seen rapid growth in solar power in Massachusetts. We're about to take big steps in offshore wind, and that's all great. That being said, clean energy is still a relatively small percentage of our overall electricity in Massachusetts. And right now we get only about 12% of our electricity from renewable sources like solar and wind. And obviously, if we're going to get where we need to get to in terms of solving climate change, we need to do a lot more, and we need to do it really quickly. So that's what these two policies that I'm going to talk about are really focused on, is accelerating the growth of renewable energy in Massachusetts and making sure that we are really getting where we need to get to in terms of reducing the carbon pollution that's driving climate change, and making sure Massachusetts is really leading the way forward with an ambitious and aggressive clean energy policy. Can folks still hear me?
Yeah, you sound great.
Excellent. That is so great. all right. So the first thing we're going to talk about, the main thread, is the Renewable Portfolio Standard, or the RPS. And I think we can go on to the second slide if we aren't there already. So the RPS, folks may have heard of this, it's one of the most important policies in Massachusetts in terms of driving the growth of clean energy. Essentially, what the RPS, or the Renewable Portfolio Standard, is a requirement for the state's electric utility companies to buy a minimum percentage of their electricity from clean sources. And those are defined as so-called Class 1 renewable energy. So what that means is it's typically wind or solar, or sometimes some other technologies like anaerobic digesters count as well. And it needs to be based either in Massachusetts or another New England state, or one of the states that is bordering New England. So it has to be local, and it has to be really the kind of truly clean and renewable energy that we actually like. So that's what it is. And the requirement started at 1% of our electricity back in 2003, and it has slowly escalated over time to the point where it's now at 12%. And under current law, the RPS goes up by 1 percentage point each year. That is basically, you know, that's okay. I mean, you know, it's great that it keeps increasing. But if you look out in the trajectory towards, 2030, 2040, 2050, it doesn't really get where we actually need to get to. So we can go on to the next slide. The first bill I'm going to talk about is the bill that was introduced by Rep. Kaycon and Senator Mark Pacheco, which is the bill to accelerate the growth of the Renewable Portfolio Standard. So under this bill, the RPS would increase by 2% per year, so double the current rate of increase.
Should I have gone forward another slide? This is just the the basics on the Renewable Portfolio Standard. Should I go forward one more?
Yeah, let's go to the next one. Sorry, I wasn't looking at my computer.
Okay, so this is the Pacheco and Kaycon one.
Yes, thank you.
Great.
So this is, and I should say, this is one of several bills, at least two or three that's out there to increase the RPS. So, you know, just so folks are aware, there are multiple proposals and multiple bills that are floating out there. This bill in particular would double the rate of increase of the RPS from 1 percentage point per year to 2 percentage points per year. And it would also include the municipal light plants. So as I think Joel mentioned earlier, most people in Massachusetts get their electricity from so-called investor-owned utility companies. So that's usually Eversource or National Grid. There's a handful of communities, about 50 or so, that actually get their electricity from so-called municipal light plants, which are utilities that are owned by the local city or town. And those utilities, I think mostly for political reasons, have been historically exempt from the requirements of the RPS. So basically, there is no requirement for municipal light plants right now to purchase any renewable energy at all. And since they cover about 10 to 15% of the population in Massachusetts, you know, that's a significant chunk of our energy that could be renewable, but is not so far. So the Kahn and Pacheco bill would require municipal light plants to be included in the RPS, and it sort of phases it in over time by 2030 to give them time to adjust. So that's the Pacheco and the Kahn bill. And then we can move on to the next slide, which is a bill introduced by Senator Jamie Eldridge and Representative Paul Mark, an act relative to solar power and the green economy. You might ask yourselves, what is this doing in the section on the RPS? Well, I will tell you. So the bill does a couple things. One is that it sets a long-term target for solar energy growth. So it says we're going to get 17.5% of our electricity from solar power by 2025 and 25% of our electricity from solar by 2030. Worth noting that that's actually just a small percentage of our overall solar capacity in Massachusetts. And actually, the National Renewable Energy Laboratory has estimated that we could get about 40 to 45% of our electricity in Massachusetts just by putting solar panels on every available rooftop in the state, you know, without even any larger ground-mounted installations. So there's huge capacity out there. So this is just a small fraction of that. And then because actually if we were to achieve 25% solar in 2030, that would actually take up the entire, most of the existing growth in the RPS, right? So there would be no room for offshore wind or any of the other technologies that are coming online. So for that reason, when we were putting this bill together, we thought it was important to also include an increase in the RPS to make sure that solar is not the only thing that's happening, but is happening in complement to other technologies like offshore wind. And so this bill would increase the RPS by 2% next year and by 3% per year in each following year, which would be enough to get to 50% renewable electricity by 2030, and we'd hit 100% by about 2047. So I think that I will stop there in the interest of time, and then I'm happy to take any questions at the end if folks have them and if we have time.
So there you go. I'll put up links to both the audio and the slides from that webinar if you want to check them out. You may have to search around a little bit to connect the slides with the speakers, but there you go. You'll be able to find it. So we'll close the way we always close, by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, because we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we must insist that the reckless policies of the new administration not be accepted as normal, that the United States put a long-term and equitable price on carbon. So thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for being with us. And until next time, be green.
Very cool.